this presence of God in verse 4. We've been looking at the results or the effects of that presence. We see one is that there is courage. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The reason for thou art with me. Again, goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we've been speaking upon that, the second effect of God's gracious presence is comfort. We've seen that the basis of that comfort is God himself. We looked at several verses where we are told to fear not or be not afraid, and then it's followed by the reason, and the reason is always God. Always God. So he's the basis of our comfort. That brings us to the means of the comfort. And it is stated here in verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, you have to remember that the psalmist David is looking at this from the vantage point of a sheep. And he is viewing the Lord as the shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff. Most people and most books take these two, rod and staff, to be one object. You've all seen the pictures. You have the staff and then the crook. And most people, most books, take this rod and staff to be just that. And that would be true in perhaps most lands, but that is not true. In Palestine, it's not true where David would have been. The shepherd in those days carried both a rod and a staff. The rod he carried on his belt. The staff, like a long stick, he would lean upon as he walked, and he would, of course, use it as an instrument with the sheep. Now, the thing to notice here is thy rod, thy staff. So it's God's rod, it's God's staff. This reveals the power of God, mostly seen in the rod. It reveals the tenderness of the Lord as well. And then David says, they, thy rod and thy staff, they, referring to God's rod and God's staff, comfort me. Again, looking at it from the vantage point of a sheep. They comfort me. These two instruments, a rod and a staff, were really like extensions of the shepherd's arms. They were tools. And David uses these two instruments, these two tools, to illustrate some very important aspects of the Lord's activity toward his own. Together, these two instruments, rod and staff, bring comfort and bring security to the sheep. First of all, a sheep is not going to be comfortable unless they're secure. If there's any fear, they're not going to get comfortable. So it brings comfort and security to the sheep. So let's consider, first of all, this rod, the implications of the rod.
The rod basically was a club, about 2 to 3 feet long, weighted at one end. The purpose, of course, one of the purposes was for striking. But it was a club. This club had a variety of functions. And the functions of this club, of course, speaks of the Lord's activity toward his own, which is a source of comfort. First of all, the rod would speak of authority. It speaks of the shepherd's authority. It speaks of the shepherd's rule. You know, a lot of people are in great need of comfort. Talking about God's people. They're in a great need of comfort. And they reject and they fight against one of the things that will bring you comfort. And that is God's authority and God's rule. There's comfort in the authority of God. You reject the authority of God and do things your way, see how comfortable you are. You're not going to have a very comfortable life. You're not going to have a very enjoyable life. So the rod speaks of authority and rule. The Hebrew word for rod is shebet. Shebet. And it's translated 10 times in the Old Testament, scepter. And we all know that scepter, again, would associate with a king, would associate with authority, power, jurisdiction, control. Control. Well, I don't want to be controlled. You're going to be miserable also. You look at children today. Most have no real authority in their life. There is no one who exercises much control over them. And I'm here to tell you they're miserable. They're not comfortable. And they make everyone else miserable. I'm getting off subject. It would also imply influence, a scepter. There's influence there. There is great comfort for the child of God in the power of God. There's great comfort in the authority of God. There's great comfort in knowing that God is in control and I'm not. There's comfort in that. There's influence in that. So what we have here when we speak of the authority and rule of God, what are we talking about? We're talking about a term that the religious world hates. We're talking about the sovereignty of God. If God is not sovereign, he's not God. If God is not sovereign, he's a puppet. That's what people want, by the way. That's the God they want, a God they can control. I mean, they're offended at the thought of God pulling the strings. And the reason they're offended is because that's what they want to do. They want to be the one pulling the strings. So it offends them. And they'll say, well, you just believe that we're all puppets. I find comfort in that. If God's the one pulling the strings, there's great comfort in that. So what we're talking about when we're speaking of this authority and rule of God, we're talking about the sovereignty of God, which is the very godhood of God. It's illustrated very clearly in Genesis chapter 1, in the creation account. You read over and over, and God said, and it was so. That's comforting. You see it in Genesis 1:3, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, 15, 24. There in Genesis 1. We're reminded over and over and over. Again, the very first words, in the beginning was God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And then from that point on, it's illustrated the sovereignty of God. God speaks, and it's so. That's authority. We by nature have a problem with authority. That's our nature. We have a problem with authority. We have a problem with rule. But when we finally submit to authority, to God's authority and God's rule, there's great comfort there. There's great comfort. I find it very comforting when everything seems to be falling apart to know that God's in control. I find that very comforting. Psalm 33, verse 9, speaking of creation, "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." That's power. That's authority. That's control. The rod speaks of the power and the authority and the control of the shepherd. A sheep is a defenseless animal. But the sheep find it comforting to know, yes, I'm defenseless, but that shepherd, he's got power. He's got control. He has authority. So what all of this tells God's sovereignty, what it tells us is that God governs. He is not governed. The religious world has a great problem with that today. Someone will say, well, why does the religious world have a problem with it? Because they're depraved. Because of their depravity. God is not governed. And God is not a reactionary God. Just sitting back wondering what everybody's going to do and then he reacts to it. That's not God. He's not governed. He governs. And he governs everywhere. Well, what about hell? He governs everywhere. He governs in hell. Job chapter 1 and 2 proves very clearly that God governs Satan. He sets bounds. God governs. Again, I find that very, very comforting. No one is going to be straight on salvation until they're straight on God and on man. The two parties in salvation is God and man. If you're wrong on them, how can you possibly be right? You have to be right on who God is. And the Bible is very clear who God is. The Bible is also very clear who we are. But God governs. He's not governed. Notice in Job chapter 23, I took too long on the devotional. Job chapter 23 and verse 13. But he is in one mind. Who can turn him? Again, as we said Wednesday, why would you want to change the mind of God? God's mind is perfect. God's will is perfect. Believe it or not, ours isn't. So why would you want to change the perfect mind of God? You would have to be absolutely insane. Sin is insanity. So who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. You can't change that. You cannot change that. That's comforting. That's power. Notice Psalm 33, verse 11. Psalm 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Well, what if? What if the counsel of the Lord standeth forever? There's no changing that. God spake, and it was done. Isaiah chapter 14. These are very familiar verses. They speak of God's power. They speak of God's authority. They declare the sovereignty of God. Verse 27, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul it?" Is there anyone who can disannul it? To disannul it, your purpose would have to be stronger than his. That's not very comforting. To think that God purposes one thing, but someone else can overrule. That's not very comforting. And his hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? And then lastly, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Again, very familiar verses of Scripture, we hope. "For I am God, there is none else. I am God." That's what people have a problem with today. I am God. They have a problem with that. "There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And as the sheep looked at that shepherd with the rod in his belt, that sheep knew all is well. We're okay. There's power. There's control. God's will is subject to no one. Proverbs 19:21 makes that clear. Daniel 4, verse 35 makes it abundantly clear. God's will is not subject to man's will. If God's will is subject to man's will, then God is governed and not the governor. And sometimes people get those two mixed up. They think they're the governor and he's the governed. Not so. It's never been so. Never will be so. There's comfort. There's comfort in the authority, the power, the control of God. We'll continue next week looking at some more implications of this rod. Let's look to the Lord again, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day again. We thank you so much, Lord, for the ability to be in your house. We pray that you'd meet with us today. We pray for the lost, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would open their hearts to salvation. Lord, draw us each closer to thee. We pray, Lord, that you would cause us to love you more, cause us, Lord, to want to be nearer to you. We just pray that you would help us today to honor and glorify you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.